Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 19 is a psalm that describes two kinds of revelation. Verse 1 to verse 6 describe for us what general revelation is, which is creation. It is enough to condemn, but not enough to save. That's what Romans chapter 1 tells us regarding general revelation, that's creation. From this psalm, the first few verses reveal to us that from creation, man can know that God exists and He is a powerful God. Verse 1. And this message from creation speaks nonstop, night and day. You look up in the daytime, you can see the hand of God. You look up into the sky at night, you can still see the hand of God. And it speaks in a language that everyone understands. It does not matter whether you live in a city or in the jungle. It does not matter whether you are in the first world country or third world country. It does not matter as far as God is concerned. All can understand. And then verse 4 tells us, from verse 4 to verse 6, that no corner of the earth is excluded from this language of creation. So that if you are not given the honor and privilege to hear the gospel, you are born in sin and you will die in sin. And the message and the witness that God will use to consign you to hell when you die in sin is creation. And God said, you will be without excuse. This is the state and condition of our world. But from verse 7 onwards, if creation is enough to condemn but not enough to save, then we are in very serious trouble. Is there another revelation from God that is not only enough to condemn us but also to save us? And that's what Romans chapter 2 tells us concerning Psalm 19, verse 7 to verse 14. It is the special revelation. That's how theologians describe it. General revelation, that's creation, but special revelation is the Word of God. And in this psalm, you realize that the Word of God is described using many different words. The many different types of the Word of God is found in the second half of Psalm 19. And these words that describe the Bible are very similar to the one that you find in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the whole 150 Psalms. 176 verses, each and every one of them divided into 8 verses according to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 of them. And every one of them begins with the same letter. For example, the first 8 verses begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then the next 8 verses begin with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on, right up to the very end, the last letter. And you'll find that in that very long psalm, similar words describe the Bible, the Word of God. Here we have it described as the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment, the fear, and the judgments. Now of all these, the one that stands out is the fear. Because fear seems to be an emotion, whereas the others are written, such as the law of God. You know where it's found. It's the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah. That's the word there. And then you have the testimony. The testimony here described the witness. So books in the Bible that describe the lives of characters, such as the life of Noah, the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the life of Solomon, David. Good converted believers are included, as well as unbelievers, unconverted, like Pharaoh in the time of Joseph, Pharaoh in the time of Moses, and you have Abimelech, you have Balaam, you have all the bad kings and the good kings, you have the judges. All these are part and parcel of the testimonies. And you can see how God dealt with them, how they began their lives and how their lives ended by the way that they live. And this is to teach us also, whose lives do you want to pattern after? The testimonies. And then you have the statutes. The statutes here would be precepts. Precepts such as instruction on what to do and what not to do in our day-to-day life. What kind of food you can eat, what kind of food you should not eat, what kind of garments you can wear, what kind of garments you should not wear, how to keep the holy feasts, or the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of the Passover, all these to help you in a proper Christ-honoring relationship with God. The statutes, and then you have the commandments, of course. The Ten Commandments will be included, but it is not limited to only the Ten Commandments because there are many other commandments. All in all, you'll find 613 of them throughout the entire Old Testament. The commandments of do not and the commandments to do. They are all included here. And then you have the judgments of God. How did God judge people? How did God judge Moses? Oh, he is no respecter of persons. Even though Moses had done so much for God, when he sinned, God dealt with him. And because he was given so much by God, one singular transgression from Moses resulted in him being barred from entering the promised land. In contrast to the people of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they sinned so many times. No food, they murmur. No water, they murmur. Again and again and again, and until God brought them to the brink of entering the promised land, and they said, oh, we have no faith, we cannot enter, because they listened to the faithless message of the 10 spies. When Caleb and Joshua said otherwise, no, we can go in, they did not listen. And when they make that final choice, no, we cannot go in, we are going to die, they are giants, we are grasshoppers. That's it. After 1 year plus of God teaching them, guiding them, giving them water miraculously, giving them manna from heaven miraculously, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day accompanied them. All these, including the image of the quaking Mount Sinai when God gave them the Ten Commandments and spoke to them. And then when they did not want to enter in, God said, all 603,548 of you will now die in the wilderness. But for Moses, all he did was to sin once. Even after 39 years of faithful ministry, you can't go in. So from this judgment of God, we realize that more was given, more is expected. Very serious. And in the midst of all these, God put in the fear of the Lord. And each of all these, the law, perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, sure, it will help you to be wise. Because you are simple, you need the testimonies of God to see how God dealt with all the different characters in the Bible. The statutes of the Lord, they are right, and they give you the joy that is in your heart when you obey and how to live the life. What kind of food I can eat that is pleasing to God? What kind of animals that must be used to bring offerings to God? God will be pleased with me. And so it makes my heart very happy and joyful to know that I am living a life that is pleasing to God. The commandments of God open my eyes. These are the things that God tells me I must do. That is not an option. It's not a matter of choice. In the case of what food I want to eat, there is a list of clean food. Today you want to eat maybe lamb chop. It's fine. Tomorrow you want to eat pork. Oh, pork cannot. Oh, beef, yes, beef you can. Fish with scales you can eat. So you have choices. But the commandments, not an option, not a choice. It will open your eyes to what you can and cannot do, non-negotiable. And then the judgments of God, be very careful how God judges, and you must imitate and follow how God also wants us to judge on a case-by-case basis. And God is no respecter of persons. Remember, more is given, more is expected. And if you serve God faithfully, don't you hide behind these long years of faithful service to sin, thinking that God will close one eye because you have served God for so long, so faithfully. God will not mind. God set even a higher standard. That is not how the world looks at it. You commit a crime in the world, you can now mitigate by saying, oh, this person did a lot of social work. Oh, this person sacrificed this person sacrificed that. So maybe you can not punish him so severely because he raped this person after he had done so much good work. Give him a lower sentence because of all the good work he has done, even though he may have raped someone or robbed someone or beat up someone. That's the standard of the world, using the good works to mitigate. It does not work with God. God doesn't deal with us like the world. And so we must know how God judges and how God deals with us, and so we learn. And in the midst of all these, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The cleansing of the Word of God will keep us clean continuously. And so you ask yourself, who are the ones who need to be clean? We. So the fear of God is the beginning of salvation. You want a person to experience salvation? You want a person to get his life of sin completely cleansed? You want the person to have his mind that is filled with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and his heart covered by the pride of life, and you want this to be removed from him? The fear of the Lord is the key. Now, how to put the fear of God in such a person? I mean, in other passages, it talks about the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of salvation in this case. It's the beginning of salvation. So how to help this person start from the right beginning as he gets his life completely cleansed? Tell him about his sin. How to tell him about his sin? Tell him about the sin using the Word of God, in other words. So the cleansing agent that God will use to begin the cleansing process in a believer's life has to be the Word of God. And not just any portion of God's Word, it has to be the Word of God that will reveal in a sinner how dirty and how filthy he is, so that he will want to be cleansed. Because in this state and condition of filthiness, he is not just simply going to die and disappear into nothingness. Because the moment he dies, the Bible says, in his sin, in the state of filthiness, because of the sin that is in his head, in his life, in his mouth, in his hands, in his whole body, in his entire being, what awaits him is the Lord himself who created him. What awaits him is the judgment from the Lord who created him. And he will be sent to hell. And hell is a place of torment. That's the beginning. Otherwise, there will be no fear of God, and no fear of God, there is no cleansing. That's why you cannot tell a person who is a sinner, you believe in Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. You cannot entice him with a sweet carrot. You got to let him know the true reason why he must accept Christ. Not that he can go to heaven. Yes, he will go to heaven, but that is not the starting point. That is the result. You have to begin with sin. You cannot shy away from this, because the fear of the Lord is clean. That is the starting point. How to put the fear of God in that person? It has to be the Word of God that he must fear, not your words. Not man's word, not the church's word. It has to be the Word of God so that he will experience the fear of God. That's how you do it. Why are children afraid of parents? Because it's the word of the parents. The parents warned them and told them, if you do this, you're going to be disciplined. The words of the parents. And so they fear the words of the parents. We fear the words of the law of man. When you come into Singapore, one of the things that you will be given is that drug carriers prepared the death penalty. Will you have to face? If you bring drugs into Singapore and you're caught, the death penalty awaits you. That's what we are told. Whenever you fly in an airplane, the captain will announce the severity of the punishment so that when you come in, you look at the card, it's printed there very clearly. So that you better be afraid, because if you're caught, don't say we didn't warn you. There are many other laws in Singapore, they do not tell you in advance. They do not tell you that if you vandalize, you're going to be caned. Compulsory caning for vandalism. They didn't say that. But death penalty, they want to put the fear of that law into everyone who comes into Singapore. Whether you are a citizen or not, it does not matter. The law applies. That's the law of man. Put the fear in them so that they will behave. In the case of God's word, it's not asking you to behave. It's to warn you so that you will not end up in hell, because we are all born sinners, and there is nothing you and I can do to get out of sin other than to turn to God. That's why the fear of the Lord is clean. It helps us to be clean. It turns a sinner into a saint. It drives a person to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as his Lord and his Savior, because now he is told that God loved you and God sent Jesus Christ to die for you because you are a sinner and you better be afraid of Him. And more so if you reject His love. It's one thing to be a sinner and to be condemned by God's creation. It is a totally different thing, and perhaps even a worse thing, when you are now given not only creation, but also special revelation through the Word of God, where you're told about the love of Christ, and then to tell you that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to die for your sins, and God accepted what He has done for you, and all you need to do is to believe and accept it, because this gift from God is offered to you by God's outstretched hand. Every time you hear the gospel, it is not the person that is offering you God's love. It is God Himself who is using this person as His channel to offer you His love. When you turn your back on God's love by rejecting Christ, you better know what you are facing. The fear of God. God is a holy and powerful and angry God. When you are in sin, you stand before Him after you die. He is a very angry God because He's also a holy God and He's a just God. When you were alive in this sanctuary on this particular day, the 30th of April, on this night, God gave you His hand with the gospel in His hand. And you turn your back on Him and you do not want to believe and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior for whatever reason. It will not hold up in the court of God. And you think, after you die in your sin, God will just simply say, it's okay, it's all right. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. You think it was an easy thing for to have His only begotten Son to walk on this earth, to be persecuted, to go through all that He had to endure with a crown of thorns forced down His head moments before they crucified Him, and then to nail His hands onto the cross, and then to whip Him and to spit on Him and to punch Him, to spit on Him, to punch Him, to mock Him and to laugh at Him, and then to strip Him and then to crucify Him, and then with all His bloody back and His blood flowing down. And then God the Father could at any time deliver His Son, but He did not do so because of His love for you and for me. And then He offered Jesus Christ to take your place, to die for your sin, and you say, no, thank you. What kind of ungrateful sinner would do a thing to God who offered you free of charge? You don't have to pay anything, you don't have to do anything. All you need to do is to humble yourself and believe. Because you are a sinner and you know very well you deserve the depths of hell. You deserve it. I deserve it. All of us deserve it because we are sinners through and through. And you come to Him because you do not want to stand before this God and His wrath. Be afraid of Him now, because to be afraid of Him after you die, it's too late. He has only one option for you. That is to send you to hell, where all sinners who die in sin will have to end up, because He is a just and holy God, and there is no escape, because from hell, it will be the lake of fire for eternity, which will be a place of great pain and torment forever and ever and ever. And if you think that pain that you have experienced through whatever disease or illness that you have experienced before, and you think that pain is bad, you can't even imagine the kind of pain that you have to endure in the lake of fire that burneth without end, and there is no relief and there is no death, and you have to keep on experiencing the enormous pain that will continue to course through your entire being. And all because you do not want to fear Him. You think you are greater than God and you do not want to be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean. And it will not only keep you clean at the beginning, but it is a cleanliness that will endure forever. Forever you will be clean. For eternity you will be clean. And that's why the evidence of someone who has been cleansed is a continuous cleaning. Because right now, after salvation, if you are truly born again in Christ, you will want to remain clean. And the cleansing agent, verse 10 to verse 13, the Word of God, more to be desired. So after you are born again, after you've experienced the fear of God, which has resulted in your journey of salvation, being cleaned by the blood of Christ, by the Word of God, you want to remain clean. So there must be this strong desire in your heart for the Word of God to remain clean. The Word of God will keep you clean. And with the fear of God attached to it, it will keep you clean. Because you don't want God to be angry with you as you witness for Him and serve Him on this earth. You will want Him to be pleased with you. More to be desired, that means to greatly love, to remain in a state of cleanliness where the Word of God will be the agent, where God will be pleased with you. Are they than gold? Yea, than much fine gold. Even the purest of gold is nothing compared to your strong love and desire for God's truth, the Word of God. Is this your experience? Sweeter also than honey, even the honeycomb. The sweetest honey. You know how precious gold is in the past and in the present. You know how desirable gold is. It has its brilliance, its sparkle, especially fine gold that has been burned and burned and burned until every iota of dross is completely consumed. And what you have in your hand is molten, solid, brilliant, bright yellow, shining gold. And yet God said, compared to that material, the Word of God is much more brilliant. It shines brighter than ever before to a child of God who has experienced this cleansing. And He will continue to use the Word of God to keep on cleaning him. Not for salvation. Remember, the cleaning process now is for holy witness. Because inside you're already 100% forever, permanently cleansed. Right? Enduring forever. But as long as you continue to serve God in this mortal body, the effects of the world, the temptations of the world, the deceptions and the seduction of the world that will continue to seduce us into sinning, that will cause this outward body to be stained by sin. Not the inward man, the believer inside, is cleansed forever and it will endure forever. That will not happen. In other words, even though you may sin, it will not cause you to lose your salvation. Your salvation is intact. Because you are cleansed and the cleansing is lasting, is going to last forever. But the external, the witness part, God wants you not only to have a holy feeling and desire within, God wants you to manifest the inward holiness by a life of outward holiness. That's how you do it. Have a strong desire for the Word of God, so that when Satan tempts you with gold, with promotion, with money, you will not say yes. You will say no to him. I will obey the Word of God. I will not be seduced, and I will not need that extra dollar that will result in my losing my cleanliness, my holiness. You hold on to God's truth. You will not be enticed. And no matter how delicious and how sweet, whatever Satan throws at you, using the imagery of the sweetest honey, the honeycomb, that can refresh the person. The Word of God is sweeter. I need the Word of God to refresh my innermost being. I don't need honey. You know what honey can do to a tired body. You can see that in the book of 1 Samuel when Jonathan and his men fought against the Philistines and they were exhausted. You can read about the book of Judges where Samson, the mighty strong man, was tired and exhausted after fighting with the Philistines. He saw the carcass of a lion that he had killed earlier. Now with honey inside, he ate and it strengthened him. Jonathan did the same. It strengthened him. It gives him the kind of physical revival. It refreshes the entire body to travel some more, to fight some more. In the spiritual life of the believer, we do not need any of this physical honey to refresh us. The Word of God is that which will refresh us. That's why Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, that is the physical bread, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Because that's where you get your strength, the Word of God, to keep you clean so that the dirt of sin will not attach to you. The moment you sin, you repent with all your heart to wash the dirt away through the Word of God and through the blood of Christ. And not only that, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and so he will warn you to stay away from sinful people, to stay away from dangerous places and sinful activities. You don't want to go near clubs, because what do people do in clubs? You may used to, as an unbeliever, to go there to drink and to pick up women and to do all kinds of sinful nonsense, sinful things. Because you want to rub shoulders with all the high-ups, all the key important VIPs, thinking that by rubbing shoulders with them, it may enhance and help you in your promotion. But what do people do in the clubs? They smoke, they drink, they gamble, they have lewd talks and all kinds of sinful carnal. It's a miniature Sodom, miniature Gomorrah, all these little clubs. And so as a Christian, you stay away from these places. You will have a new set of friends. You do not want to associate with these kind of friends that will cause you to lose your cleanliness. You are warned. The Word of God will give you the discernment to have the right kind of friends, to only go to the right kind of places. And so parents, if you have children who are going overseas for studies, what they need most is the fear of God, not the fear of you. Because with the passage of distance and time, the fear of you will disappear. The longer they don't see you, the less they fear you. But once it comes to the fear of God is inside your child. It does not disappear. That's why you must always pray for the fear of God to be in your child, in your son, in your daughter, while they are studying. And the fear of God will keep them clean. And to make sure that the fear of God is very much alive and vibrant in them, you give them the Word of God, because the Word of God is where they hear the voice of God. And the more they know the voice of God, the more the fear of God will keep them clean. That's how important this is. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What is the reward? A life of holiness, there's peace in their heart, a life of joy and gladness, where they know their conscience is clear. When they see mom and dad, they have nothing to be ashamed of. Their conscience is very clear because they have been living a life of holiness and witness for Christ. That kind of feeling is priceless. Money can't buy that. You know how many filthy rich people are miserable inside? Because they know that very often most of their wealth have been obtained by deception, by lying, by cheating, by trickery, not honesty. And that's why they don't have peace. Well, they surround themselves with a lot of luxury. And they will drink and they will gamble, thinking that nobody knows, everything is well, pretending to be all is well in their soul. And so they laugh and they joke as if everything is well, when inside their heart they are rotten to the core. And when they are alone in bed and everybody is asleep, they can't sleep, they're going to take sleeping pills. They're going to use all kinds of outward means to go to sleep. And the moment they wake up, their nightmare continues. Oh, are they living in big houses with big bank accounts where an entire life is all taken care of? Even if they were to live another 70 years, they have more than enough money to live in luxury 10 lifetimes. And yet, not one moment of peace and tranquility, because they do not have the fear of God to clean them from within. And they are miserable. Even though they may pretend to be smiling and happy. Sometimes you may not realize, and I'm sure you may realize, that the saddest people on the earth are the people who make other people laugh. They're comedians. Comedians are people who think of all kinds of ways and means to make people laugh. And so when they are on stage, they will crack jokes and they will pretend to be silly and do whatever it takes to make people laugh. But then when they're out of the stage, when in the quietness of their little room, the reality sets in, and then they become miserable and miserable. They can't make themselves laugh. They don't have the peace. They can make other people laugh, and other people may laugh for a moment, pretending that their own lives are also happy. But in reality, when the comedians step off the stage, nobody is laughing. Once again, reality sets in. And that is sadness, that is sin, that is death, that is sickness. All these will quickly rush in like a floodgate that is open. And it will weigh so heavily in their heart, in their soul, in their mind. No peace. But not the person who has been cleansed by the Word of God, because his journey began with fearing God through the Word of God. And now once he's born again, he wants to retain and maintain this holiness. And that's what the Word of God will avail him. And that's what he wanted to do. He must have this strong love and strong desire for the Word and to be cleansed, to remain clean. And then he will be warned through the keeping of God's Word that is the reward of peace in his heart that money could not buy. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The Word of God can. You can. Once you know the Word of God, you know what you have done wrong, and straight away you will repent. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Even secret sin that you do not know of. The sins that I commit privately, my wife doesn't know, nobody knows, because it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. But you know God knows. And these are the things that is enough to even convict you. Secret. Man does not know, you know God knows. And the more you study the Word, the more you want to cringe. The moment you lust, you want to repent, and you do not want that sin to go any further. Even though you know, nobody knows how to convict a person who covet. How to convict a person who covet? If I covet for something that is not mine, that is sinful. I know, but it's in my heart. Covetousness is a terrible, deadly sin. That's why we thank God for the 10th commandment, because that's what the 10th commandment said, thou shalt not covet. Nobody ever consider covetousness as a transgression until the 10 commandments were given. That's what the Apostle Paul says. But once you know the law, once you know that God tells us, if you are angry with a person without a just cause, you have already committed murder. That convicts your heart, and straight away you repent, even from secret faults. And the Word of God, with the fear of God, will cause you to not allow a sin that is within you to come out of your mouth to become a reality. Because the consequence of a sin that is actually carried out is far more grievous than a sin that is inward. When a person covets something, let's say a person covets a neighbor's car. I love that car, you may say. You covet it. You can dream about driving it. You can dream about sitting in it. You can dream about driving it to Malaysia and back. As long as you don't get into it, as long as you don't touch it, you can do all you want. But that is already a transgression. That's covetousness. And if you do not want to stop it there, and you continue to mull over it, mull over it, mull over it, and one day, your neighbor accidentally dropped the car keys. You walk by and you saw it, and he's on holiday, and the car is there. And you've been toying and coveting for the past few weeks. What are you going to do next? He's there. The car is there. He's away on holiday. He told you, we won't be back in another 4 weeks. Wow. Nobody knows. I drive carefully. So you go near the car. You touch it a bit. Open the door. You sit on it a bit. Wow, very nice, huh? It all started with covetous. Then you turn on the engine. Choom, wah, the roar of the engine. As long as it doesn't move, you're still fine, isn't it? I mean, just sit there and start the engine on it, right? Nobody's looking. Nobody knows. Nobody will report. Drive it out. Wow, pretty good. A little further. A little further. And before you knew it, you're on the highway. You're done. When he comes back, you do not know about the camera there, the camera this and that. And then when he comes back, he checked the camera, he saw his car zoom off. He backtracked, and he saw your face. He saw all the things that you did, the touching, the sitting, the starting, the everything. The police is there, and you're finished. How did it all begin? Covetous. Covetous. Did you not read about how 3 young men were arrested because they found a set of keys at a void deck, and then they went to the car park and started to press that automatic unlock, and then they found a Toyota Camry, and that's exactly what they did. They went for a joyride, and then they were caught, and now they are in prison. Only a few days ago in Singapore. Stop it there. Warned. Understand what right and what wrong is, so that even the
secret faults, clean it up. Not just the words, not just the action, even the hidden sin. The Word of God can penetrate into the innermost being and clean us all the way from within us. Not just outwardly, not just the facade, but the innermost being. Secret faults. That's how powerful the fear of God is through the Word. And keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sin, so that you will not commit even those sins that may have the appearance of evil, you stay away. Okay? Arrogant sin. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I remain upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The serious one with terrible consequences. That's how powerful the fear of God is. The ones who need cleansing, us. The cleansing agent, the Word of God, that will sustain the fear of God to keep us not wanting God to be angry with us. So that at the end of your life, you can say what the psalmist says in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because what comes out of your mouth with the fear of God will be sound and good and clean and honorable and a blessing to others. And then what is in your heart, your motive, what your heart meditates and ponder over that nobody knows but you know, God will accept, will be acceptable in God's sight, who is now your strength and your redeemer, the one who saved you, the one who keeps you clean and keeps you strong in the path of righteousness and holiness. Now, do you want this kind of life? I hope you do. All of us should. All of us should. To walk on this earth, to wake up every day, to lie down to sleep every night, to have a conscience that is clean and clear, because your heart and your life is so clean and so right with God that you have nothing to be afraid of. Even when you stand before the all-knowing God Almighty, He will scrutinize your life from inside out, every jot and tittle, every corner of your being. And He says, I find no fault. This person is clean. And the cleanliness is enduring forever and ever and ever. Because he now has the blood of Christ, he now has the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and he now has a very wonderful mind of God, as well as a heart that is constrained by the love of God. He is a clean person. And it all began with the fear of the Lord, which is clean. And it will keep us clean. Because you will want to have the Word of God that you desire strongly, so that you will obey every word of God, so that God will never be angry with you. Inside, the words, the action, the entire being and life. This is the great reward. Peace, tranquility, a clear conscience. That you can look at any man. You can even look at God and stand before God. And Christ will smile at you when you see Him face to face. And He will welcome you home, my good and faithful disciple and servant. That's what He will say. Do you not want that? We can experience that right now on this earth through the Word. Through the Word. It's as simple as that. But it begins with the journey of salvation in Christ and the continuous desire for holiness. Because you are holy within now in Christ, and you want to remain in a state of cleanliness. And the Word of God and the blood of Christ will continue to keep you clean. And with the fear of God in your heart, you will not be afraid of any man, because you will be more afraid of God than any man. And that will help you to keep on walking in the path of righteousness and not stray to the right or to the left. The fear of the Lord is clean. Are you clean? If you have the fear of God in your heart, the cleanliness has begun. Keep yourself clean by studying the Word and not sin against Him. And your witness will be holy, righteous, and pleasing to the cleaner, and that is God Himself. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, for you know how dirty and how filthy we are, for we are born in sin. And we are soaked in sin from the moment we are born to the time when we begin to know the difference between our right hand and our left hand. We have original sin and willful sin. O Lord, from within our heart and our mind and our words and our hands, we are covered in sin. And only the fear of God through the Word of God in Christ Jesus can we begin the cleansing process. And we thank Thee, Father, that in Christ Jesus, all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior, who died for us and rose from the dead for our justification, and we receive Him into our heart with all sincerity, our journey has begun. We have been cleansed thoroughly by His blood and through the Word, and that cleansing endures forever. And as we remain on this earth, O Lord, help us to desire cleanliness, because we are cleansed from within. Help our words, our actions, and our lives and our dressing to reflect one of holiness and righteousness and purity, because the Word of God has been given to us to teach us, to warn us on how to live a life that is clean before Thee and before all men, so that at the end of our lives, we may truly stand before Thee accepted, for Thou art indeed our Redeemer and our strength, O God. For this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.